Blog Talk Radio.
I can bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan, and never let you forget who I am, cause I'm a woman. W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. Cause I'm a woman. W-O-M-A-N. Welcome to Word of Mom Radio. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio. I am your host, Dori DiCarlo, and we're here on the Mompreneur Model Show. And you know, we are out there breaking those myths that mompreneurs just dabble in business in between, you know, bake sales and getting our nails done. We're smart, savvy women building those bridges and finding those gaps between creating a business, having it grow, and our families. And it is never easy. It's always interesting. And I am so excited. I can't even tell you how happy I am to be sharing Rose Mooney today here on Word of Mom Radio. Rose is a lifelong friend that I have known since I was 16. We kind of lost track of each other for about the last 20 years and reconnected. And I am in complete awe of everything that she has done. And I want to share her resume with you before I bring her in, because it is just so diverse. She received a BA degree in information system management from the College of Notre Dame in Maryland after completing studies in computer science and electrical engineering at the University of Baltimore County. Her interest in aviation began as a young child living in Queens, New York, in the approach path of LaGuardia Airport. She spent her nights watching the aircrafts and being intrigued by flight. And her career started with developing manufacturing robots for Westinghouse, development of medical devices, and has now moved to unmanned aircraft systems. She's always had a fascination with robotics, and she is currently the executive director of the Mid-Atlantic Aviation Partnership, which is an FAA-awarded UAS test site in Virginia, New Jersey, and Maryland. In this role, she brings valuable engineering, industry, and business experience and understands the importance of the relationship between industry's need for commercial access and the regulatory environment. She's also the vice president of Archangel Aero LLC, and she leads an engineering consulting company that serves the new technology in aviation arenas. Prior to Archangel, she spent the last 7 years as the director of engineering and then the director of UAS airspace integration for AAI Textron Systems. She spent 14 years prior to AAI as the president and CEO of Archangel Systems, Inc., a provider of systems and networking engineering services and manufacturer of specialty hardware and software systems. She served as the president of UAS's national industry team and is co-chair of the RTCA SC-23 Unmanned Aircraft Systems Committee. And she's involved in national and international education, advocacy, and safe integration of USA's non-segregated airspace. And she's also pursuing an MBA in leadership from Liberty University and is a student pilot. She's active in the arts, community, and her church, and she has four incredible children, three girls and a boy, and a wonderful husband who shares her love of aviation. Rose, isn't it amazing hearing all this stuff about yourself?
It is. It's funny to sit here and listen to it. I'm wondering who you're talking about.
And then it's you. So it's like, yes, oh,
and
wow,
it's me.
It is. You know, and now Rose and I know each other through theater. We started working together. She was the stage manager and production manager at the Bardavon Opera House in Poughkeepsie. And I came up there with Westco Productions to do Fiddler on the Roof. And that was my first meeting with Rose. And a lifelong friendship came from that. And it's just, I'm serious, Rose. I'm just like, wow, I can't believe all the stuff that you have accomplished in all of these years, and yet still have your hand doing things in theater because of your kids.
And because of my passion. Aviation,
well,
and
know,
theater are my passions.
And, you know, you can't get two diverse passions, you know.
Well, they are on the opposite end of the arts and science scale, that's for sure.
It really is. I mean, you know, tell us about your journey. What led you to all of this? You know, share this with us.
Well, certainly. I started, as you know, in theater and spent 5 years working professionally and then decided that I wanted a life along with my love of the arts and started to work in engineering. Saw engineering as an avenue of doing things in an area that I love, which was creating things in a different way. And from there, the aviation piece came together when I went to work for Textron and AAI, starting in robotics. So, but I've never really left theater behind. I took about a 15-year hiatus, but when my children got a little older and they started, you know, dancing and being out in the community, I started doing theater work again. So it's been an interesting journey. And actually, even earlier on in my career, I had a full scholarship for medicine, for pre-med at West Virginia University in Morgantown, and I left that to go do theater. So it's been quite a journey.
It really has. I mean, what has it been like? Because, I mean, let's face it, aviation and everything that you do is such a male-dominated world. And it's not like you dabble in this. You're the executive director. You're the president. You're the chairman. You're the this. You're the that. What has that been like as a woman?
Well, you know, as a woman, you have to develop pretty thick skin, and I think the theater helped me with that. Working on contract with IATSE, the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, as an electrician, started it early on in my career, working in an all-male field, and that provided a basis of learning on how to thicken the skin and not take anything personal and be persistent and be good at what you do.
You know, I'm amazed that you've accomplished all of this when you were with Archangel Systems and you grew that company from 40 people to an $8 million a year company in sales. You did this while homeschooling three of your four kids.
I did. We decided to homeschool because the kids were losing their love of learning, and the school system wasn't providing what we needed. And it actually, they were in private schools, so we were looking for alternatives. My girls were very serious ice skaters as well. So we decided to homeschool, and that became quite the juggling act. I think the ability to do that rested on the fact that I was the president and CEO of the company and that I had some really good nannies, so they would help as well. But it was a very busy time because not only did we have school and, of course, I had the company to run, but we also had skating in there. And my kids were skating in Delaware, which is about 75 miles one way from where we live because that was the Olympic training ground. So it was really important to be organized and not to get too far ahead of myself and to do one thing at a time. So it was a juggling act, but it certainly was one that was very rewarding. And when we got to the point where the kids were no longer homeschooled, I actually missed it.
It's strange, isn't it? You know, that to get back to not having to juggle. I mean, now that they're older, I mean, your youngest is 17, you know, but it, as somebody whose kids are grown and gone, you know, I remember the first day everybody went to school when my daughter went off to kindergarten and it was full day kindergarten. I had been home for 10 years with kids and all of a sudden I was like, I'm all by myself. It took a little while to get used to. Then I really enjoyed it and was able to accomplish, you know, because I worked from home and was able to accomplish so much while they were all in school. And then as soon as they got home on the bus, my time was theirs. You know, but I certainly wasn't running an $8 million company while I was doing all of this. And, you know, kudos to your girls. I mean, you know, Vicky skated for Team USA in Croatia and China in the synchronized skating.
Yes, she did.
On a Division I level. That's a major accomplishment. I mean, that's really wonderful. And Gabrielle, too, skates on a national level.
She did at that time, and I'm very proud of my children. They are my greatest accomplishment.
Amen to that. You know, let's face it, there's nothing you could run, you know, a multi-billion dollar company. There's nothing that is going to be more rewarding than watching your children. I just put up a throwback Thursday picture today of my kids and my nieces and my nephew from Easter in 1996, and looking at all of them in their cute little outfits and my daughter in her little hat and stuff. And the next time I'm going to have all of them together is at my son's wedding in July.
Well, that'll be very exciting. We look forward now as they grow to those times when you can get them all together. It gets harder and harder.
You know what? It really does. You know, their lives are, you know, their own, and you try to fit that little niche. I mean, anytime my kids want to spend time with me, I will just drop whatever I'm doing, hop in the car and go, because it's so, you know, now it's so few and far between that you get that time with them, you know. So I have to ask you, how did you start your engineering consulting firm? How did you start Archangel Arrow?
Well, the Archangel Arrow was actually the second company. The first one was Archangel System, and that was actually born out of a need to be home. And it started as a small, just me consulting, and grew from there. It was after the birth of my second daughter, Gabrielle. I was working for UPS, and it was 1994, and I had no time, no life. I had nothing that I could control as far as time was concerned, and having that second child multiplied the complexity of that. And I was working for UPS, traveling a lot, out of town all the time, and I took a really long, hard look and spent a lot of time in prayer and discussions with my husband, and decided that I need more flexibility. So I left UPS without any contracts and on a leap of faith, which was a huge step for me, and ended up consulting part-time, and it went from part-time to full-time, and I was able to say yes and no to contracts and be able to schedule things around my children, and then Archangel Systems was born out of that.
I'm serious. I'm listening to you, and kind of my jaw just keeps dropping a little farther. You know, as I just listen to all of this, and so segue that into actually becoming, I know you're a speaker. I didn't say this earlier. Rose is a national speaker and an expert in the field of unmanned aircraft systems, and you sit on advisory boards for NASA and the FAA and in businesses.
I do.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, Janice Clark, who hosts our social media Help Not Hype show, talks about there's only 24 hours in a day. I don't know, Rose. I'm thinking you have found a way to manufacture some extra hours in a day to be able to do everything that you do.
Well, no, I have some tips, but certainly I haven't been able to expand that time continuum, although if there was a way, I would – I have looked to try to do that, but, you know, it was just, you know, a gradual thing that happened. I was working for AAI Textron Systems in unmanned aircraft. They produce a product called the Shadow, and that was my entry into unmanned aircraft. Had asked me to start working the national airspace integration issues for them. I was a director of engineering, and as I was doing that, I was getting more connected to the industry and connected to the FAA, and all of a sudden people started asking me to come out and speak. Initially, I thought, you know, what do they want to hear me say? I don't know. Don't know what they're interested in, but I have a passion for aviation, and I have a passion for unmanned aircraft, because it's the next boom in aviation. It's a pioneering field in aviation that's going to help save lives, and it's going to be able to do dull, dangerous, and dirty jobs. And as a nation, we've been losing competitive edge. So I have a passion for the subject and for getting the industry off the ground in a commercial way. So it just sort of evolved, and now it's just a regular part of my life is the speaking engagements and being out in front of people with the mission of unmanned aircraft and what it can do, the good things it can do for people.
What is your, you know, when you go, what is your favorite thing to speak about when you go out on these, you know, engagements? Do you have a favorite topic?
Well, I think I enjoy aviation in general, but I think I enjoy the education of it, of telling people some of the things that it can do, having people think about beyond what their current paradigm is and looking for something different and be open to new ideas. I think that's what excites me the best about it, but especially helping other people and younger people in the field, women, men, and engineers to follow their dreams in regards to these types of careers. So I get excited about talking about the topic, and I get excited about talking to people about how to make life work, you know, just how to work in a field and how to manage it with life and to recognize that, you know, it's not easy. But it certainly can be fun. And if you're miserable in your job, you should be looking for one that you like to do, because life is short.
I agree. And I'm going to actually ask you, in your opinion, what do you feel the keys to success are as a mom and a professional?
Well, you know, I do think that an important part of that is doing what you love to do, finding an industry, a niche, a product. I mean, like you with your safety bags, you have a passion for that and a passion for people with disabilities. And I believe that if you follow that type of thing, the money will come behind it. If you go for the money alone, within a short period of time, you're going to be disillusioned and getting out of bed in the morning is going to be hard. So it's important to do things that you love, that you feel are important. You know, that's a real key, and there's a lot to be said about getting comfortable with being outside of your own comfort zones in that. So, you know, a lot of us early on would get very comfortable in something we were doing. Of course, you and I at that time were doing theater, so we were comfortable in anything I think at that point.
Right.
But being able to push the boundaries and say, you know, I'm going to go for that. What's the worst thing that can happen? Somebody can say no. No is easy to get along with. You can say, okay, that didn't work. Let's try something else. I think another important part of being successful in business is to learn how to be productive and not busy. For a long time in my life and my career, I was busy. I was jumping from one thing to another. I wasn't making choices on that. I was just sort of going with the flow between the kids and the company and the homeschooling. I wasn't making, in my opinion, intelligent choices. So I think we have to really spend time focusing on being what's productive. And what's not productive, let it go. It's just not worth doing. It's just, you know, just let it go downstream, let somebody else do it. As you get more successful, you can hire somebody else to do it, delegate. But I think being productive is an important key. And many of us, I think, get caught in the busyness scheme because it just sort of life happens to us. I think another important point is learning about being positive. I think, you know, I try to continue to be positive no matter how hard it is. And learning from my mistakes. I'm okay with making mistakes. I make them every day, and I learn from the mistakes I made.
Well, I've talked about my PhD in business coming from the mistakes that I made, you know. I mean, it is. Life is a learning curve. It really is, you know. And, you know, I love what you said about being productive, not busy. We talk about that all the time on our Managing Mompreneur Mayhem and Social Media Help Not Hype shows, that you have to look at the fact that time is money, and as you grow your business, whatever you're doing, you have to make the decision as to what is an expense and what is an investment in your business. And sometimes the best investment you can make is delegating out work that is busy work that you could be more productive doing something else. So I like that has been something that you have learned too.
I did, and it took me a while. So what I did is I actually wrote down, like, the major things I was doing during the day, and then I would pull out the card on an index card, and when I was doing it, I would think, okay, is this productive or just busy? And then I just started getting rid of the busy ones and only doing the productive ones.
That's a great tip. Wow. I would never have thought to like write stuff down on an index card and then decide what's being productive and what's just doing busy work. Wow.
And I did it by putting one on each card so that it was like almost a tangible thing on my time, right? It was like tracking my time on something I could hold.
Absolutely. You know, let's face it, you can't do it all. But finding the balance, you know, how did you find that balance between your professional life and your career and your family?
Well, first I spent a lot of time pulling my hair out and feeling that I wasn't good with anything. I do still have hair, but I felt like I wasn't going to after some of those early years. But I did find that it took me some time to actually find that balance. And part of it was by using the productive, not busy piece of it. But another part of it was learning that, you know, you have to give up on being perfect. You have to give up on perfection. For a long time, I felt like I wasn't giving my job enough and I wasn't giving my family enough, and I was felt defeated on each side of that, thinking I'm just not keeping up with it, and I would get very frustrated. So I learned to start looking at things with the light of keeping it simple. If it was too complicated, then something to me was wrong. And I started looking at life through the lens of go for simplicity, whether it was at home, whether it was at work, and again, looking at those things that were productive and not busy. The other thing I realized is the 80-20 rule really works. You spend 80% of your time getting something done, you're going to be really close and have most of the task finished, or at least as much of the task that really needs to be to be done. Instead of saying, you know, I have this 10 or 20%, I really got to squeeze in there to make perfect. So I had to give up some of my paradigms on what success was. I also realized that for me, an open calendar is an open opportunity, and that means for a long time I had to have my schedule crammed. I just went once from one thing to the next thing to the next thing, and I still struggle with this at times. But having an open calendar allows me to have time to connect with people that are important to me and that matters the most, and my family. So those things were really important, and downtime. For years, I never gave myself any downtime. Now I actually schedule in downtime. I also knit. I love to knit. So that's kind of a quick moment of downtime, whether I'm in a line or in a traffic jam or whether I just take a few minutes at home. So I think there are a lot of things in maintaining and finding that balance in life that actually will bring joy. But the other part of it is I think that you have to realize that good enough is good enough. You know, where is that point where it's enough, right? So, you know, if we go back to those theater days and you're designing or painting a set or designing the lighting, it's never perfect. There's always something you're going to do. And whether it's your house or your work, there's always something that's not going to be right. But nobody else is going to know it but you. And for me, I was the hardest critic on myself. I'd be beating myself up and nobody would even know there was anything wrong.
Right. Isn't that amazing? I'm serious. And you know what? Let's face it, you are not alone in that. I think that is a woman's biggest challenge is just satisfying herself. Because it's true. Good enough is good enough. Striving for perfection, we've talked about this so many times. You know, perfection is kind of a low pole to reach, you know, because nothing's perfect. So why strive for perfection, you know, because there's no such thing, you know, outside of God's heaven. There's no such thing as perfection, you know. And I'm serious. I love good enough is good enough. I'm going to have to make a graphic out of that one.
It really works for me. And you know, for me, I had to really assess why I was looking for that perfection, you know, and I think a lot of it had to be, you know, the fact that I wasn't sure that I was good enough at it. And I had to let that go and say, you know what, I am good enough at it. And in many cases, you know, I'm the expert at it because I know more than other people. Not that I know everything, because every day I'm learning. And the older I get, the more I realize I don't know. But I certainly have learned that, you know, that goal of perfection is highly overrated.
Right on. You know, and but I think that that's what helps keep things in perspective in work, you know, don't you?
I really believe that. And another factor that I think that's helped is I think God's worked a lot on me. He's given me situations and put me in situations that have been very humbling. And so I've spent a lot of time praying and trying to figure out how to fit it all together. And I'm a work in process.
Well, we all are. We all are. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break. For those of you just tuning in, we're here on Word of Mom Radio with Rose Mooney, and I just want to say hello to our sponsors today, Victoria Thornton from the Uncover Your Diamond program. Discover simple strategies to stop sabotaging yourself. Create self-confidence in 20 seconds with ways to change what you do every day that can make a difference. The Uncover Your Diamond program has 7 weekly modules to help women rediscover who they really are so you can turn self-doubt into self-confidence. After giving to everyone else, it's time to get some sass back into your life and take care of you. Imagine if you could quit the blame game and take responsibility for you, let go of the anger and forgive yourself, step up to your fears and feel the freedom, and finally replace self-doubt with confidence so you can uncover your diamond and truly shine. If you imagine if you were really and truly living life on your terms, if you were able to choose how you feel, release the negative emotions, and feel the positive energy that comes from shining your light. You can find Victoria at victoriathorntonlive.com and also uncoveryourdiamond.com. And our other sponsor today is a new sponsor that has joined Word of Mom Radio, and that's Karen Esposito over at Pink Zebra. She's a successful mompreneur who's been in direct sales for over 10 years, and her recent success has been with the Pink Zebra Home Fragrance Company, where she's currently a top leader and director with a team of over 6,000 consultants. She is now one of their corporate speakers and trainers for their company and at their annual conventions and rallies. She's earned national top honors for team building and sponsoring, and she runs her home business with the help of her children and family. Pink Zebra's signature products are their soy sprinkles that you can mix and match to create your own scents and recipes, and the company also offers unique home fragrances and decor products. And you can find her at thezebradiva.com. So I really encourage you to reach out and connect with them, and you can visit wordofmomradio.com and meet all of the fabulous sponsors behind Word of Mom Radio. And we are back here with Rose Mooney. You know, I'm serious. It's so interesting to know that you are doing all of these amazing things around your greatest accomplishment, which is your family. And what has it been like? I mean, tell us about creating this incredible professional life that is thriving and also a beautiful family with that whole, the hectic day-to-day, every day that goes through, you know, that whole idea of building your family, you know?
It is a juggling act, and it has been a challenge. But, you know, I think one of the important things that I've learned there is that I can't get too far ahead of myself. So I have to kind of look at what's today and what's tomorrow and what the needs are. And I don't worry about what next week is, because next week will take care of itself, and when I'm there, I'll take care of that. So being in the present and being available. I used to come home from work, and I'd be worried about work. So when I was home, my family wasn't getting much of the time. And then when I was running the company, I had to start learning that I had to let that go, because if I was carrying things either from the family to work or from the work to the family, what was happening is I was taking that valuable time and actually not being as productive as I could be because I was carrying this baggage with me. So I had to learn to develop a really good support network with friends and family, you know, and other professionals so that I could could elicit help. I could solicit the help I needed. I could call in an emergency, but I also could lay down that part. Right now, my husband actually works part-time, and he's home to keep the home front going because I do travel a lot, and he consults part-time. So as a family, we actually made the decision to have him work part-time and consult for our company, Archangel Arrow, and leave his job so that I could keep doing this one. And it's been a huge relief, and that's really we both give 100% in our marriage. And having that support and having that friend and a great spouse has been incredible for me, because there was a time I was a single mom, and I was doing those things as a single mom, and I had to reach out for others and friends, and I had to let other people help me. I think I was rather prideful early in my life, and I didn't like other people helping me. I liked helping other people, but it wasn't okay for them to help me, and I had to let go of that. And a good friend of mine taught me that it's a gift to help others, and that I was robbing the gift from other people to help me.
Mm. That, and you know what? It's actually very true. Because when you turn those tables and you think of how good it makes you feel when you're able to help someone else out, it's true. Why not give them that same wonderful feeling by letting them help you?
It took me a long time to get that one.
Oh, I can totally relate. I'm awesome at, you know, stopping what I'm doing to help somebody else, but picking up the phone because I need somebody's help, I'm right there with you. I really am. It is a very hard thing to have to ask for help. And I don't know about you, my biggest fear always was asking for help. I mean, I grew up with three brothers that, you know, I would call. I was like, hey, can you help me with this? And I just hear, ha, 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 click. You know? You know, and it is so funny because I remember my brother Rick introducing me to a friend of his and saying, you know, this is my sister. This is the one that I told you about, who's the only person I know that would do something for someone knowing full well and good they would never do it back for her. And what I've always told my children is that you do things because you can, not because you expect somebody to do it back for you. You just do it. And, you know, karma's karma. It'll come around however it comes around. But you give, if you give, give selflessly. Don't ever expect anything in return. Because then you won't be disappointed if you don't get something back, is really how I feel. You know, and I think a lot of times people do things and kind of keep that scorecard of, well, you know, I helped you here and I helped you here and I helped you here and I helped you there. And it's kind of purpose defeating.
It is, and what a waste of good, productive time keeping track of all that. I think
it
really comes down to your motive, right? Why are you helping someone, you know? Are you helping to get something back? Are you helping because you can and you feel called to do so?
Very, very, very true, you know? And I part of the reason that Word of Mom Radio even happened was, again, you know, in me trying to find a way to break those myths for women that are juggling businesses and their families, and many of us work from home and, you know, or do part here and part there and everything else. And did you find for you that developing a good network of other parents and other professionals was able to support you in what you were doing?
Absolutely. And it, you know, I think part of it at first, since I was, I've been in engineering for over 30 years, I certainly was early in my career of working in a field that was a majority of men. And it still is, and certainly at the higher levels, more so than the lower levels. But feeling like I was the only one that was struggling with this, you know, that nobody else really felt that way. And when I started reaching out, I found that a lot of people felt that way. They may not have been in my field, but we were all struggling with the same thing. I was working for UPS, and I was in this big meeting up in Mahwah, New Jersey at the time, and I was getting ready to move. I was moving on Saturday, And they decided it. I was the only woman in the meeting, and they decided to extend the meeting for a day. And they said at the table, anybody have any problem with extending this meeting through, you know, I don't know if it was through Thursday or Friday, but for another day. So I said, yes, I have a problem because I'm moving. And the gentleman who was running the meeting blurts out, well, my wife handles all that. And then he looked up at the table, and the light dawned on him that I'm the wife. And I said to him, I said, is she for rent? So we did not extend the meeting, but it was a lot of that in my career going on. Whereas he was right, his wife did handle it, but I didn't have the wife at home to do that. So extending that meeting was going to be detrimental to me moving into the house I live in today. So I think having that network and being able to pick up the phone, and also realizing you're not alone in it, right? You're not the only one struggling with this. That it really makes a difference to have people that you can call and they can call you, and that you can exchange and do things. But, yeah, I wish I had a camera to take a picture of the gentleman at that table at that moment.
Well, you know, it makes me think of the movie Baby Boom. Do you remember that movie with Diane Keaton?
Yes, indeed.
Top advertising executive, and the guy takes her out, you know, because they want her to be a partner, and it's like, you know, because women can't have it all. You know, I don't even know how many grandchildren I have, but I have this company grossing over $200 million a year. And, you know, she winds up leaving because she winds up, her cousin dies and she inherits their baby and creates an entire career for herself out of her home. And that's why I sing the song at the top of the show, because that commercial, do you remember that commercial? With the woman with the briefcase and the frying pan. Because let's face it, Rose, we're around the same age. Our generation of women were told you could work or you could be home, but you can't have both. And it's another reason Word of Mom is here, to empower women, to let them know, you know what, guess what, you can. You can do it all, and you can be successful, and you can actually be happy in your life. And are you going to work hard? Absolutely. But you work hard anyway. Why not work hard for yourself and something that you are building, that the biggest testament to what you're building is being able to walk away and have it still work? You know?
That's an important point. I think that you know, we were raised that you could have it all in equal portions to the way everything else was. And what I realized is you can't do it all. Right? So you can have your career, you can have your family, but you're not going to be Betty Crocker, right? You're not going to, you know, be Martha Stewart on Thanksgiving every year. And it's okay. It's okay to find a balance that works for you. And it's okay to be not have your house perfect all the time. And it's okay not to have your desk clean at the office. My motto at our house is, you're welcome to come visit us anytime, but if you want to see our house, you're going to have to make an appointment.
And why is that?
Well, because we live our life here in our house. So it is not a show place, you know. I have friends that would get all upset because somebody dropped by, you know, and their house wasn't ready. So they lost the opportunity of friendship and time with someone they care about because they were worried about the way their house looked. You know, by Friday afternoon, a bomb's gone off here. You know, we live a life in our house. So we decided early on that if you want to see the house in its best condition, you best make an appointment. But we love to have friends and family come over, so you're welcome anytime.
Oh, believe me, I can't wait to be making it. I actually was just on the phone with our satellite in Philadelphia and trying to figure out when I was going to get down there. And I am planning on extending, you know, if I'm in Philadelphia, then I'm taking the next hop, skip, and a jump to Maryland. because I cannot
I can't wait to see you.
I see, and this is why whenever somebody says that Facebook and things like that, oh, it's a waste of time, baloney. It really isn't, because it gives you a way to reconnect with people that you haven't seen in forever. And the amazing thing is, and it, right in our first conversation after, you know, almost 20 years, it was like we were talking last week. Because that's really what friendship is. And it's what friendship is. So, all right, I'm going to, what do you do and how do you keep things in perspective when life and work collide for you? Because it has to have happened a gazillion times.
Oh, it happens all the time. And you know, I think there's a number of things that I do. One thing is I don't take myself too seriously. I learned a long time ago that you know, for a long time I was very serious, and I took everything very serious and personal. And then I realized, you know, it wasn't about me at all. And God helped me put that in perspective as well. But, you know, I find that if I can laugh at the situation, that I don't really get upset when something happens. You know, I keep calm and carry on. That's an old British saying from the war, right? The stoic Brits during the war, you know, they had a big motto that they put out there, and we're seeing it all over again, is keep calm and carry on. So, you know, I just take a breath, I keep calm, and I look for creative solutions. You know, it sometimes going with your default answer on a problem or a situation isn't always the best answer. So being creative in my life and looking for creative solutions on how to do that. Certainly having my husband come home to stay home and work part-time, that was a creative solution for us. He had always worked full-time, and that was a big difference. But after we looked at our lives, we decided that there needed to be that balance again. Both of us were traveling all the time. We were trying to move to Virginia. We were unable to move to Virginia because my daughter's in special education and needed a school that she could thrive in, and we found one here in Maryland, and we were looking for one and didn't find one. So after 6 months, our situation was untenable. We were out of town all the time, exhausted all weekend trying to catch up. She was with a nanny, and it just wasn't working. So we had to get creative on a solution. But the other thing that really helps me is to let go and let God. And that's part of not taking myself too seriously either, is that, you know, there are only so many things that are really important. And each day when I wake up, I no longer hop out of bed the minute the alarm goes off and go running down the hall to get my day started. I actually spend some time in bed, and my prayer is, God, show me what I need to get done today, because there's far more than I could ever do in a lifetime just in today, that I just need to know what you need me to do for today. And that's been a huge help in trying to keep that balance and keep life in perspective.
Wow. Amen to that. My first thought, it's so funny, I go to bed at night and I just thank God for my blessings throughout the day. And when I wake up in the morning, that's my first thought is, you know, thank you for the blessings that are going to happen today and whatever wonderful is going to come my way. And, you know, and it's funny because for me, working from home, I'm very, very disciplined. I mean, I try get up in the morning, I take my shower, and by, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, I am dressed and ready to go, because I never know. I mean, I can't tell you how often my phone has rung and somebody's like, hey, I happen to be in your area, can you meet me down the hill for a cup of tea? And I say this to women who work from home all the time, and what are you going to say? No, I haven't showered yet. You know, you have to take working from home seriously.
Oh,
you know,
yes,
this
you do.
Is my office. This is my business. And it's so funny. I'll never forget my brother stopping by one time unannounced, and when I was still living in Connecticut. And I had a townhouse, and the garage I converted into an office, conference room. I mean, it was beautiful. My landlord was joking. He was like, wow, I should charge you more rent. It's a whole other room, you know. But my brother walked in, and I was in my office, and I was dressed in a nice pair of slacks and a blouse and a little bit. I don't wear a lot of makeup, a little bit of makeup. And he was like, it's 8:30 in the morning. I was like, I know, I'm working. And he was like, what, do you have a meeting or something today? And I was like, no, I'm just working from here. He was like, dressed like that? I was like, yes, this is my office. And he was like, wow, I should hire you. I was like, wow, you couldn't afford me.
Right. I wouldn't work for you if you tried.
You know, but it is true. And you know, it's, I think the things that you've shared, especially not taking yourself so, too seriously, and that good enough. I mean, I think as moms and mompreneurs, we have this image of what everything is supposed to be. And, you know, your life is your life and no one else has your life. So it's not about making it look like Jane's down the street. It's about being happy with the life you've created and managing that life based on your own expectations, not what other people expect you to do, you know? And I think that that's where women have... Go ahead.
You know, that it's like the old adage, this is not a dress rehearsal, right? This is the live show. And if you don't like something about your life, to recognize that you have the ability to change that. You know, that you craft that life. You're the director of your own destiny and your own life. And there may be things that get in the way, and there may be things that knock you down, but it's not the setbacks that do it. It's what you do with those setbacks or those challenges that really make a difference.
It's so true. It really is. And what you do with the challenges, you know, I remember saying to my son, who was flying into a storm in his life, and I was like, you know what? The measure of a person is not how they deal with things when everything is wonderful, because when everything is wonderful, what do you have to deal with? It is how do you deal with it when the spit hits the fan? That shows your true character. That shows who you really are. When times are tough, do you stand true to yourself, or do you throw away who you are to try to take the easy way out? Because let's face it, you and I both know the easy way out is always the hardest choice, the hardest thing to do, because then you have to make up for all the stupid stuff you did trying to take the easy way out as opposed to just doing it, you know?
Well, we all had to do that early on as we were younger, because you and I weren't able to be told the right path when we were younger. We were kind of headstrong back then.
Oh, I still think we're both pretty headstrong. It's just we're smart enough to know that, you know, I don't know about you, but, I mean, I try to learn from every mistake I've made. At least it shows you're trying. You know, if you make a mistake, I mean, the definition of intelligence is the ability to learn from your mistakes. So as long as you don't keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again, in which case that's the definition of insanity, because you're doing the same thing trying to get a different result. You know, I'll make new mistakes all the time, but I really try my best to learn from the ones that I've already made. I've been like, okay, been there, done that, got the T-shirt, that didn't work. Let's try on something else, you know. So,
but I think we've also gotten to the point in our lives, though, where we've learned the definition of wisdom, right, which is learning from the mistakes others make, and then you don't have to make them as well.
Oh, yeah. I that was half my motto in life. Growing up, I watched my friends do a lot of stuff and been like, yeah, I don't need to do that. You know, And I was always the designated driver and all that kind of stuff, because I don't know, I just never got into all of the craziness that I watched friends, especially doing theater at such a young age in my life. You know, I mean, by 19, I was living in New York City, you know, pursuing theater and stuff, and watching people do things where I'm just like, why would you do this? I mean, it never even made any sense to me why people would do some of the things that they did. But then again, I did things that people looked at me and were like, why are you doing that? You know, so
yeah,
who am I to throw stones?
I agree. I think we all have to take our own path with that. But certainly in the theater, I watched a lot of silliness as well, and a lot of really dumb mistakes and people that did permanent damage to their lives. And I was wise enough to like you, steer clear of that and to move in my own circles and my own path and not worry about, you know, fitting in.
Well, you know, we weren't made to fit in. We were designed to stand out. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's, what is it, Marianne Williams? You know, when you don't allow your light to shine, you diminish it. You know, it's shining your light gives others permission to shine theirs too. You know, and I mean, I'm serious, Rose, and I don't, I mean this very sincerely. I mean, I'm so in awe and so proud of what you've accomplished and the road that you have paved for other women in your industry. You know,
well, thank
you,
Dory, and I'm proud of you too in what you're doing, because it is an amazing outreach to women and to people that have needs and special needs, that we've created a path that I think was set out before us that we had to find, and we found it, and I'm very blessed by being in the position I'm in and being able to serve others and to help others along their path and their journey.
Well, and it's a wonderful thing that you're doing. Are you seeing more women getting into your field now than before?
You know, I think the percentages really haven't gone up terribly. I think that it's easier to get further now. As a young engineer, I think that, you know, the opportunities are out there. I think we get hung up in a lot of the stereotypes not of society, but, you know, for example, one of the big things is that women make less than men, and that's unfair. And, you know, I've observed that for years on women making less than men. But I also, if you take a very scientific approach or look at it, what you find is women are not able or willing to take the same sacrifices as some of the men that spend 80, 100, 200, 300 hours a week or whatever they've got in the office, and they make that sacrifice. And if you take a look at that and you really take a look at that percentage of time that they're spending versus the percentage of time that their male colleagues are spending, I don't think that delta is very large. I don't think we're really underpaid like we used to be. And people get so hung up on that they want the money, but they don't look at the whole picture of the sacrifice. So I think the opportunities are greater now. I think women are still making choices to be out of the home more, or in the home more and out of the office more. And I'm not so sure that our lower education really caters yet to science and math with girls. I think we still have a discrepancy there. And I have a passion for making it interesting for girls, because, you know, not everybody is math and science, but in many institutions, they still don't recognize that girls can have that talent. So I think the field is different. I'm not sure if it's more, though. I think there's more certainly than 30 years ago, but I don't know if there's more than 15 years ago.
Interesting. You know, it's funny because I have two boys and a girl, and my daughter, first grade, her teacher told me that she was a born mathematician, and in fourth grade, I'll never forget going and her teacher just being, she is just a born scientist. And it's so funny because, you know, here's my daughter who, you know, is the only person I know who works on both sides of her brain, because she is a born mathematician and a born scientist who excels in art, and she's won national awards for her cooking and her art and things like that. So, you know, she's going to college, and, you know, while she was there, she changed her major three times, because it started out with art, graphic design, then it went into something else with art, and now she is back to wanting to be a psychologist. You know, so it's been really interesting. I'm like, Courtney, you're 22. You don't have to decide yet. Go travel. You know,
yeah, right. Go find out what life is about.
Exactly. You know, and you know, go have some fun now, and you'll figure out what you want to do later. Because you know what, in your 20s, you don't have to make a decision. You don't have
to.
You don't have to decide your whole life now. Go have some fun. Find out what you really, really love to do, and make that your career. Because, and you said it earlier, you know, finding something you love to do. If you find that passion and what you love, the money will come, you know, and I think that that's the biggest thing for mompreneurs. So as we are wrapping up, I told you an hour goes quick. As we are wrapping up, Rose, you know, share what you would like to leave our listeners with, and then how they can reach out and find out more about what you are doing?
Well, what my advice is to know yourself. You know, be your own best friend and know yourself and find those things that make you passionate and look for the joy, you know. And I think that's an important part of it is just, you know, grounding yourself, knowing yourself, and not being too hard on yourself. And people can find out more about what we're doing by looking on the web under Mid-Atlantic Aviation Partnership and my name. And lots of information will come up. But my parting words are follow your passion and look to God for support and your friends, and life will happen for you the way that you'd like.
Well, amen to that. Rose, I am so glad that you had the chance to come and share today. I know a lot of women are going to benefit by hearing what you had to share. And I'm so excited for everything that you are doing. Good for you. Good for you. You know,
well,
I can't wait to get a chance to see you.
Well, thank you for having me on, Dory. It's been a pleasure to spend the hour, and my door is always open.
I look forward to it. So I know you have to run. You've got a call coming in at 2, so I'll close up without you so you can get ready for that. And I thank you again for taking time to spend with us here on Word of Mom Radio. So
thank you. Have a blessed day.
You too. Love you lots.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
Wow. You know, it's an amazing thing to see somebody that you've known since you were a kid. I mean, I was 16. Not that I was ever really a kid. My mother said I was born old. But it's remarkable. I'm kind of in awe of what Rose has done with her life. It's pretty amazing. So as we wrap up here on Word of Mom Radio, next week, Janice Clark is going to be continuing with Hootsuite 102. And we're going to get further into what you can do with those applications in your Hootsuite dashboard. And it's going to be a very, very interesting conversation. We had a lot of feedback from the first one, and I'm looking forward to the next. And next week on the Mompreneur Model, Krista O'Leary is going to be sharing with us again. She was a guest a long time ago, came back in during Word of Mom March, and I cannot wait to share her with everyone again. So she will be here with us next Thursday. And thanks again to our sponsors of our conversation today, Victoria Thornton from Uncover Your Diamond and Karen Esposito at Pink Zebra. I look forward to sharing them again. And